Well, it's just lovely to come back again. We've been several times to Taunton, and we just love this church, and we've just seen how you've grown and how blessed the Lord has made you. I was blessed this morning by the worship, and I was blessed by the children's worship too. You know, the angels of the children always, always behold the face of the Father. They always do, and we just want to bless those kids, you know, dancing to the Lord and worshipping. Okay. I'll just tell you some family news, first of all. We have now got 14 great-grandchildren. and the 15th on the way. So we are so, so blessed. And Isla, who was all of 2 years old, she said to her, and she was very early learning language, and she said to her mother one day, "Mummy, I've just asked Jesus into my heart." And he said, "Yes." So what thrilled us particularly was, A, that she asked Jesus into her heart at 2 years old, but also that she's hearing God. And the children do hear God, don't they? It was Jonathan hearing God this morning. And we just want to bless the kids. And Lord, you know, we want to raise up prophetic children, don't we? Children of praise and children in the future will bless this nation and bless the world because they love the Lord. Well, now, there's a two-year-old coming to the Lord. Now, my brother is 85, and in August last year, he sat at our breakfast table and he said, "How can I become a Christian?" Wow. Well, better late than never. Better never late. But there and then, he found Jesus. And, you know, it doesn't matter what stage you are in your life. The earlier, the better, I think. I think, you know, we shouldn't prevent children coming to the Lord. We should encourage them. But also, at any age, Jesus will take over our lives and will, if we ask him. And so we were thrilled about that. Now, in Job 9, it says, a lovely verse here, "He performs wonders that cannot be fathomed, miracles that cannot be counted." And I just want to tell you a few of the things that we've seen in our ministry, seen in our lives. We were at Oasis fairly recently, and a woman comes up to us and she said, "You were here 2 years ago." And she said, "You prayed for me and I had fibroids." And and she said, "And also I desperately wanted a baby and couldn't have one." And I don't know, I didn't remember this at all, but she said, "You prayed for me." And I went for a scan that week and there were no fibroids there at all. So, you know, God hears our prayers, doesn't he? You know, she was just healed by the Lord. You know, I love to stand back and watch what God's doing, don't you? Because God is so active in these days. And, you know, the more we call on him, the more we're going to see the wonderful things he does. We went back to our old church where we had... Oh, yeah. And at the same time, forgot about the baby. There was a baby in her arms, a little tiny baby. And we're just so thankful for that too. Praise God, praise God. Thank you. Yeah, we were at our old church, Queen's Road Church in Wimbledon, where we ministered for 31 years as the senior pastors. And it was a special do. They'd invited us back. And they have now got six pastors. Can you believe that? Six pastors in the church. And they're ministering every week now to about 9,000 people. And they're one of the pastors is the internet pastor. Is it? That's right, isn't it? The internet pastor. I've never heard of an internet pastor, but there they've got one. And apparently, What they do, they broadcast they're preaching their word, the word of God, out to a number of nations. And this internet pastor has been brought in, just to minister to these people in different countries. Isn't that wonderful? So the word of God, goes out in many places to many people. Anyway, this guy comes up to us and he said, I was 10 years old in 1994. Now, if you remember, 94 was a great year of when the Holy Spirit was poured out and our church was powerfully affected. And so at that time, we were having what we call prayer clinics, and we were inviting people to come and be prayed for. And we had about 25 of our ministry team, and it divided up into five groups, and people would come and get prayed for. But one time, we were saying, we'll have them just for people with learning difficulties, learning differences now. People who are autistic and got dyslexia, whatever the title of what it is, and so the parents were bringing their children, and this pastor, he was 10, and his father, who was a Baptist pastor at the time, he brought his son, and he said, "I was severely dyslexic, and I was prayed for in '94." And he said, I can take you. And he said, to that spot there. And he said, that's where God healed me entirely of serious dyslexia immediately. Now, I just, isn't that amazing? Well, now, our grandson, Ben, he was severely dyslexic too. And I remember we took him and, people prayed for him. And he said, I didn't get healed of dyslexia. He told me recently. But he said, what happened to me? He said, I went up into heaven. Well, honestly, is that wonderful? This kid of about 8 or 7 he was at the time, and he went up into heaven. And now, today, he is the children's pastor at the church where we go to. He has got about 100 kids or so that he pastors and blesses, and more than that sometimes, but it's generally 100 or so children that he has. And he's so gifted in that. So whatever you get prayed for, something good's going to happen. Something really, really good, because God hears our prayers. And it's not always what we think we'd like, but it's always something very, very good. Anyway, I'll move on quickly. I'm on the chaplaincy team at our local hospital, and I've done that for many years now. And there was a lady who used to do the tea, and because we were volunteers doing this work, we were allowed one free cup of tea or coffee every time we came in. Anyway, she hated us, this tea lady. I think she hated people who were Christians or something, but she thought we were, But anyway, we just used to pray silently for her and bless her and everything else. And gradually, after a couple of years or so, she came round and she didn't seem to mind so much giving us a cup of free coffee or free tea. And anyway, she was quite a sick lady. And many times when she told me, or she told the team, what was wrong with her, we used to pray for her. And one day she came and she said to me, Margaret, she said, I've got cancer in my lungs. And I said, well, let us pray for you. So some of us got some people just to gather round, and we prayed for this lady. And she said she went home and she'd never coughed like it in her life. And she was going for a surgery that week, and she coughed and she coughed. And she said, Margaret said, I coughed the cancer out. There were all these kind of fluffy balls. I'd never heard a person coughing cancer out. But since then, somebody said to me, yes, it has happened. It can happen. And, isn't that wonderful that God hears the prayer and blesses this woman? And she became a Christian anyway. That's great. Well, you would, wouldn't you? And then as I was going around, I've met so many, many people, thousands of people, really, in the wards and that. And one of the lady I met, and she was about the most miserable patient I've ever seen in my life. And she was a very angry lady, and she was saying the most dreadful things about her family, how awful they were, and how awful the doctors were, how awful the staff were. Everything was awful. And, after she'd, given me this tirade of, how awful everybody was, I said to her, I've forgotten her name now, but it doesn't matter. I said, you need Jesus in your life. And she looked at me, quite startled. And the look, and I talked to her, because sometimes I say to people, do you remember the picture of the light of the world and Jesus knocking on the door of the human heart? That's what it's all about. And in Revelation 3:20, it says, here I am, I stand at the door and knock, and if anyone hears my voice, I'll come into them and I will stay with them, really sup with them, stay with them. And so I thought of this, and I said, what would you do if Jesus knocked at the door of your heart? And she looked quite startled, and she said, well, she said, I'll tell him to come in. And I said, well, you can do that right now. And so I just led her in a prayer, and she came to Christ. Now, I said to Norman, when I got home, I said, it was only about 7 minutes conversation, because you can't stay around a patient long because the doctors come and go and everything else. And I thought, was it really so? I mean, did she really come to Christ? And I went back a week later, and I went into the ward, and often you don't see the same patient again because they're the in and out like yo-yos sort of thing. And but there she was in a different bed at the end of the ward, and before I could get to her bed, she said, Margaret, she said, what a difference, and she's shouting down the ward at me, what a difference it makes when Jesus is in your life. And her face was changed completely. It was just so amazing. And I thank God, because I thought, did it really happen? You know, it seemed so quick, so easy, but it did. Well, I went from her, that ward, I went to another ward, and this lady said to me, I've just had terrible news. And often you find that a doctor's just been and told them they've only got a few weeks to live or something like that. So I get a chair and sit down with her and hold her hand, and she tells me what's happened. And she sort of, these people, they were without hope, you know, when they get the news like this. And I said, well, look, I can tell you, I believe in the God of hope. And always in God there is hope. And I told her, that God has come, Jesus has come to give us everlasting life, so we don't have to die finally. You could enter into life straight away. And thereupon, she came to Christ. And I was just so, so wonderful, wonderful, wonderful. And she, cheered up visibly. But anyway, 2 days later, I was back in the hospital giving communion to patients, and I thought I'd pop in and see her. And I went into the ward, and she said, Margaret, she said, guess what's happened? And her face was wreathed in smiles. All the sadness and all the despair had gone from her. She said, do you know what's happened? My son rang me up, and he said, I said to him, I've become a Christian. And he said, Mum, that is amazing, he said, because when I was in Afghanistan doing the landmines, I made a pact with God. And I saw the chaplain and I became a Christian. But I never told my family because I know they were so against Christianity. They hated it. So I didn't tell any of you. But to hear you say that you've just become a Christian, that is so amazing. And in fact, it was true, because the chaplain, when she heard I'd gone to her, she said, oh, you shouldn't have gone there, because she didn't want anything to do with the chaplaincy. So I said, well, I think she changed her mind. And it was just amazing. Well, from there, I went into another bay, and the woman called to me and said, could you come and sit with me for a little while, because I'm so lonely. And she talked to me for a little bit, and I told her about Jesus, you know, knocking on the door of every human heart, because he does. He comes, and he said, will you let me in? Will you let me in? Knock, knock, knock. Will you let me in? And I said, what would you do if Jesus knocked on the door of your heart? And she said, well, I'd want verification. I'd want verification. Well, I think that's fair enough. You don't want anyone sort of taking over your life. So I said, well, I think that's very sensible. And I said, and so I told her about Jesus and a little bit more. And then I left her, and she said, well, I have to think about it. And I said, you're very sensible. This is the greatest decision that you'll ever make in your life. And you do need to think about it. You need to think very carefully about it. So I went from her to the next bed. And in the next bed, I met a lady who said, you know, she said, I couldn't help hearing what you were saying, because they all can, actually. Whenever I read the scriptures, which I always read them loudly so that other people can hear. But she said, I'm a member of the vineyard. So I thought, well, isn't that great that the Lord puts a member of the vineyard in the next bed? So she's praying for me and praying for that woman as I tell her about the gospel. Anyway, so we had a little chat and I prayed for her. And then the woman in the first bed says, could you come back here a minute? So I said, yes, of course. So I returned to her and she said, yes, I've thought it over and I'd like to become a Christian. And so, you know, I led her in a little prayer, and I always give, I buy in these little Gideon New Testaments, and I always give patients these New Testaments if I've had what I call a sensible conversation, which is a spiritual conversation with them, and I've had so many people reading the scripture and really turning to the Lord because they found him in the scriptures. So bless you all, and bless you all in your ministry, because you've all got a ministry to places and people that, you know, some of us will never see. So bless you all.